Thank you for joining us here at Celebration Church, where we celebrate God, celebrate people, and celebrate life. We hope you enjoy today's message.
How do you move on from the past? How do you actually take active steps to move on from what has happened to you? Does time heal all wounds, or is there something you have to do to leave past trauma, to leave disappointment, to leave loss? Is there actions, and how do you do it? How do you get beyond just going through the motions of repeating 2023, or repeating your childhood, or repeating what a teacher said to you once, or repeating what a doctor said, or repeating what your shame says to you? How do you actually not just sit in your circumstance, but progress beyond it? How do you see a new day? How do you allow God to do a new thing in your midst? How do you shake off that loss? How do you shake off that disappointment? How do you shake off that shame and leave it in your past where it was and where it should remain? And then how do you forget what happened to you? In a second, we'll read a scripture that encourages us to forget the former things and to look ahead. But how do you forget your trauma? How do you forget everything? And are you supposed to forget everything? Are you supposed to wake up every morning and be like, blah, 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 I don't know how to speak, like, I forget everything? But how do you leave certain things and move and progress? But how do you forget the pain that has happened to you? How do you move on from the trauma? How do you forget those lies that were spoken over you and those addictions or chains or shackles or prisons that were your reality, but God has brought you out of them and He's asked you to move on from them? How do you forget them? How do you actually be new? How do you break patterns? How do you break generational patterns? How do you get not just little flesh wounds, deep wounds? How do you move on, and how do you forget what you're supposed to forget and remember what you're supposed to remember? And the third question is, how do you deal with the past whilst letting go of it? Because you can forget it, you can hide it, you can suppress it, and the past could be what you did last night. But how do you actually deal with it? Because if we're supposed to forget it all, then I don't get a chance to be like, but they said that, and it echoes here, and it makes me act like that when this person does that thing. So how do you actually focus in on something in the right time by God's grace so that you can progress beyond it and not act like it's not there? I'll be like, no, I'm healed. No, I've forgiven. And you said the right thing. You've even potentially said, I've moved on, but you were supposed to deal with it. Because the next season will bring it up. Your childhood is over, but it will reappear as you raise children. Your patience with your parents is one set of patience tests, but your patience with little humans screaming in your face when you are, from the moment that you are awake to the moment you are awake the next day. So how do you deal? How do you hold that tension of dealing with it but forgetting it? How do you live in that, yeah, I'm saved, but I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling? I am completely new, but there's something in me that even though I don't want to, it sins. It misses the mark. It separates itself from God. So how do you know when to leave something or to look at it? How do you know and how do you find the grace of God to deal with something in His timing? Because I don't know about you, but the moment that I started walking with God, He didn't do everything in me. He did everything for me, but there were things that have been dealt with over the last 20 years of me walking with God that it's just, oh, that's a thing that I didn't know was there. That was a rage that I didn't realize was there. That was a shame that I didn't know was there. I didn't know that was still shackling me. I felt free from that thing. So how do you access the grace of God to do it when God says it's time to do it? How do you deal with what he's calling you to deal with today. When to know to ignore something and when to know when it desperately needs attention. How to actually get to the root of the situation rather than just treating the fruit. So on the screen is a scripture, a famous scripture from Philippians 3 verse 12. We're going to read this, then we're going to pray, and then Eden's going to disappear. In verse 12 in the NIV, it says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this," speaking of the full measure of what God says and does and is, "or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." Could we swallow that pill this morning? Could we have a humility that is, "I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I haven't grasped it all yet. I don't understand enough yet." "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The full resurrection, the full everything is gone and I am completely new, is what Paul is speaking about here to the Philippians. And this morning, my hope is that I would be able to encourage us to hold the tension well between forgetting the things that will bring us no freedom, learning from the things that will bring us freedom from our past, but with all of our energy and with all of our purpose pressing ahead. And if there's anything in my past that I can learn from that will help me press ahead better, Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, give me the strength to deal with it. Help me to wake up that sleeping dog and work out what's going on here. But if there's things in my past that there is no answer, help me to forget. Help me to leave it behind. Because my breakthrough is not in my past. My breakthrough is in you and your grace, Jesus. So this morning, my prayer is that we would hold that tension, and maybe today, by His grace, and only by His grace, not by your will or your choice, maybe there's some things this morning that He wants to prophesy are not in your future. They were in your past, they are a part of your origin, but they are not a part of His destination. And today can be a day of breakthrough for you. So let me pray for us this morning. And why not? Let's stand together and pray this morning as a church family. If you're with your partner, why don't you grab their hand? If you're with a friend, don't feel afraid to do that as well. And if you're terrified of touching someone, that is perfectly okay. Me too. That's why I don't even use soap when I have a shower. Okay, Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you this morning. We want to be transformed from you this morning, God, not just for us, but the person next to us. We stand in the gap for them. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak, that you would have your way, and that voices that are not your voice would grow strangely dim. That things that we have taken ownership of that are someone else's, that we would hand them back this morning. Lord, because some of us hold an anxiety that we call our own, but it was given to us by someone else. So we give it back this morning. Some of us hold lies that are not from you. They were given to us by someone else, and now we hold them as a part of our identity. We want to give them back this morning, God. Some of us hold our parents responsible. We blame a friend. We blame a heartbreak. We blame someone. We're handing back pain this morning, God, and we ask that you would give us your grace and your favor and that heaven would be our normal. That sickness would not be our story. In Jesus' name, a faith-filled church said, amen. Why don't you take your seat this morning? Thank you, Eden. On March 24th, 1874, in Budapest, Harry Houdini was born. The fourth greatest magician in the world. Number one, me. Oh, the arrogance is contagious. Before Chris Angel, before Dynamo, before David Blaine, there was Harry Houdini. Harry Houdini did many different acts, but Harry Houdini has a quote, and it's going to appear on our screen, and it's this: "No prison can hold me. No hand or leg irons or steel locks can shackle me. No ropes or chains can keep me from my freedom. My brain is the key that sets me free." Harry Houdini believed that he could get out of anything because of the plan. Because he had preempted things, he knew how things were going to end. Harry Houdini died. Harry Houdini, cause of death is debatable, but today we'll act like it's not a conspiracy and it's 100% true, okay? Harry Houdini died because some of his internal organs exploded. And they exploded because he did a magic trick where he would allow anyone in the crowd to come up and he said, "I can handle any punch, come and punch me." And people would come up at his show as he'd tour around through America. He died in Detroit, so this occurred in Detroit, far from Budapest. And people would get up and he would obviously flex, he'd be ready for it, and they would punch him, have a few punches, and he'd be like, "I'm okay." And they're like, "Yay, he's invincible." After one show in Detroit, a young college student came up to him, excited to test Harry Houdini's amazing strength. And without Harry flexing, he continually punched Harry in the stomach, abdomen region. He was quite sore afterwards. He didn't go to the hospital. Days later, he went and realized that there was some organs that had exploded on the inside of him, and he died. So thank you for joining us today. Let's head out tonight. That's not where we're ending this morning. It would be fantastic. But there is this quote from Harry Houdini that's saying that the head, what you're doing, how you're thinking, is the thing that can bring you freedom from everything that everyone else says will limit you, will chain you, will keep you down. And my heart this morning is that we would not act like we are at a constant disadvantage. So we wouldn't have a narrow mentality. A narrow mentality often is a competition of who is less fortunate. That can be Australian culture. Someone can share with you, "This is happening to me." "Well, that also happened to me and it was much worse." It's like the worst type of story topping. It's who can be more sad with what happened to them. Have you ever had a conversation with a person like that before? If you haven't, someone's had it with you. You're the person. But we should be a people that don't live at a disadvantage off what everyone else has done and blame everyone else, but we should be a people that understands we live at a drastic advantage if we press on towards Him. We live at a disadvantage from our world if we have an ability to press on and forget what happened. If we remember what happened and forget to press on, we are at no advantage. But no matter what you've been through, you are at an advantage. You are not at first base or second base. You are on your way for the home run. If you just believe and live, I forget the former things and I press on towards the things ahead. But this morning, I want us to consider what things we should completely forget and what things we should have a little conversation with. Because they're actually not in the past. We have been watering them in our mind, our heart, our soul, our lifestyle every single day since our past. The title of this morning's message is simply "Sleeping Dogs and Dead Horses." And our props department, Libby, would not give me props for this. There's two sayings. One, it's on the screen. The saying of "let sleeping dogs lie." It means to not talk about a bad situation that most people have forgotten about. And maybe it's a family reunion and everyone's acting like that person is perfect, and then someone says, glug, 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 you remember when you used to punch me in the neck to wake me up for Christmas? I don't know, that's a good one. And everyone's like, just let it go. Like, we all forgot about it. We all moved on from it. Like, let's just put it there, sweep it here, and let's all just celebrate. Has anyone's Christmas ever been like that? Someone's like bringing something up from like seven generations ago, and you're like, what? Who did what? And we are a mammal, a human species that is quite good at remembering things. And there's this saying, like, let it lie. We forgot about it. It doesn't matter anymore. We've all moved on. And then there's this other saying of there's no use flogging a dead horse. The visual in these sayings. Thank you, Australia, or wherever this came from. Which means to put particular effort is futile. It is being a waste of time with no positive outcome. But we have to understand the difference with, are we dealing with a sleeping dog or are we dealing with a dead horse? Because a sleeping dog might need to wake up and deal with the situation. A dead horse, you can shake it, you can pick it up, but there's no answers there. Oh, but Joel, we could do a horse autopsy. Leave it alone, just don't cut it open, just leave it. So you have to work out this tension. Is this something that I forgot it, but I didn't deal with it? Or there is no answer in it, I just need to move on from it. Because some of us are trying to wake up someone that's actually dead now. They're not in our world anymore. Some of us are in this room and we're 70 and we can remember what a teacher said and they're dead. Some of us have been out of school for longer than 5 years and you can remember what that teacher said in year six, that you were in the worst class that had ever been and you're the worst student, and you replay it. You have to work out the difference between, okay, I need to wake this up because I believe something of it, or no, that wasn't true, it's dead, I can't bring it back, I'm moving on. There's no answer there. There's no hope there, my identity isn't there, it's just not there. And working out the tension of those things is the responsibility of the individual. That if you need to deal with something, there's no point being in a culture or a group or a family where you bring it up and everyone's like, that thing's dead, and you're like, but it still hurts. Like, it's still how I talk to that person. It's still my prejudice in this situation. It's still how I deal with my pain when no one's watching. And it's asleep. And we act forgetful, but we're not forgetful at all. It's there. It hasn't healed. We haven't dealt with it. The dog is sleeping but needs to be woken up. It needs to be dealt with. Or the horse is dead and you won't find answers. We need to leave it all behind. Perhaps the dog needs to be dealt with, because just because we forgot it, it doesn't mean we dealt with it. It isn't over. Where the horse, no time will bring a positive outcome. Sitting with the trauma, sitting with the dead moment that there is no resolution, and I dare say we'll get there, that there is no healing from it. It broke you so bad that even God won't heal you. He will give you something new. And you can talk therapy about it as much as you want, but He's given you a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit. That your family tree stops with you and changes with you. That you don't pass on the pain and the hurt and the brokenness. That what was true for your parents or your grandparents or your great-grandparents or the school that you went to or the neighborhood that you're from or the situation or the abuse that you went through, it stops with you and a new family tree begins. We're going to look at a scripture because I think a great goal is to start with a blank slate but with a good memory. I start with this is new. The normal of the Mitchell household is not defined by anyone with the last name Mitchell that isn't that lady over there, this boy over here, and my two kids. That we create our normal with a clean slate. But with a good memory of who we would become if not for Jesus. If not for what he has saved us from and healed us from and replaced in our lives. So I want a clean slate, but I want a good memory. Because I'm not going to have a divorce because someone else had a divorce. I'm going to have a divorce because I don't work on my marriage. I'm not going to be bad with my finance because someone else was bad with their finance. I'm going to be bad with my finance because I don't read the psychology of money. Because I don't budget. I'm not going to not see people say because my parents never gave me the example. I'm not going to not read my Bible because someone else never read their Bible. I'm not going to do it because I choose not to do it. I'm not judged off their actions. I will be judged upon my own. So it's very important that I start with a clean slate and I give blame to people that are able to change it. And I'm not going to pass my blame or ownership to someone that is unable to build my future. I'm going to own everything that I can own to play my part in building my future that God has called me to build. I'll keep my power and surrender it to Him rather than give it to someone else that could never get me to where He could get me if I just started with a clean slate and a good memory. Ezekiel 18, verse 1 to 2. There's an amazing sermon. It's by a guy called Shane Willard. It's called called Sour Grapes. I encourage you to go listen to it. He unpacks Ezekiel 18 really well, and there's so much truth in it. But we want to look at verse 1 to 2 here. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me." This is Ezekiel speaking to people in exile, God's people in oppression, outside. It's around the time of Daniel. It's around the time of Jeremiah giving prophecies. Ezekiel says this to the people of God. "What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The parents eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge." Another way of saying it is the parents ate green apples or unripe apples and the children got stomach aches. In other words, our children live in pain or hurt or at a disadvantage because of their parents. And Ezekiel here is saying, stop saying that. Stop saying what you're living in is because of them. It goes on in verse 3, "As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For everyone belongs to me, their parents as well as their child. Both alike belong to me. The one who sins is the one who will die." So not I die for someone else's sin, I die for mine. I don't die because I wasn't taught about managing my finance. My finance is in turmoil because of my choice not to manage it faithfully, led by the Holy Spirit. I don't die because I grew up in that neighborhood or because of that bankruptcy that happened in generations before me. I die because I don't play the hand that God dealt me well. I say, I don't have good cards, and then I just don't do anything. But I live because I take what I have been handed, no matter what it is, without envy, without blame, and I let Him make it into what He always planned it to be. That no one could rip me off from it and no one could take it away. That it was His dream to give and it was His dream to grace for and it is His dream to fulfill. Verse 5 to 9, I want to read this. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but verse 5 says this. "Suppose there is a righteous man who does what is just and right. He does not eat from mountain shrines or look to idols in Israel. He does not defile his neighbor's wife or have sexual relations with a woman during... He does not oppress anyone, but returns to what he took into a pledge of loan. He does not commit robbery. He gives food to the hungry. He provides clothes to the naked. And he does not lend without interest and take profit of them. He does withhold his hand from doing good and judges fairly between two parties. He follows my decrees. He is faithful and keeps my laws. The man is righteous and he will surely live, declares the sovereign Lord." And then verse 10 to 13 goes on and says, "Suppose he has a son and he does the opposite. Does that son reap blessing because his father's righteousness, or does he reap death because of his sin?" And then the verses beyond it go into verse 14 where it says, "Now there is a grandson. that despite growing up in a house where someone sinned and rebelled and did the wrong thing, he chooses to live righteously. Now, does that grandson reap the curse from his dad, or does he reap the blessing from his grandfather? And Ezekiel says, neither. He will be judged upon his own actions. And let's not misunderstand. No matter the advantages that you have and the great things that have happened in your life and the great opportunities you've got, none of them are close to one word from him. So if you're at first base, like, how did that person get there? They got those opportunities, they got those things. You've got him. He is better than someone else's daddy. His provision is better than the provision of someone else's family. So you are at an advantage when you stop playing the game and you step back and say, no, I'll be judged off me walking with you, God, and I will reap those rewards. And if my great-granddad gave me things to learn from, I'll learn from him. If my dad gave me things to learn from, then I'll learn from them, but they are not my righteousness or my portion or your view of me. The end of this chapter says these words, therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent. Turn away from your offenses. Then sin will no longer be your downfall. Rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and new spirit. Not healed heart and healed spirit. Not I'll be half the man that my father was. You get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. The why this morning is on the screen of why this is important is that we don't miss today. If we live in the past of our parents or the past of our circumstances or the past of our own poor decisions and failings, we could potentially miss today. And there's this powerful quote that the past is a place to learn but not to live. And if I can learn from it, I will learn from it, but I cannot live there because I will miss today. And today is a valuable day. Today is a day where he will continue to save me. It is a day of salvation. Today will happen with or without you at the wheel. Don't miss the moment, because you are at a disadvantage if you live out of anything that isn't today's grace. Let me give you some hows this morning to keep moving forward. The first one is this: don't sit in it. Don't be a victim to your circumstances. A victim of circumstance is someone who decided to sit down in the circumstance. A victim of circumstance is not someone that went through a bad thing. A victim of circumstance is someone that sat in the bad thing. And you may feel like, because of what happened to me, I don't have the strength to not sit down. Friend, he does. And he does for you and for me. And he does for the person that had a perfect run and the person that hit roadblock after roadblock after pitfall after pitfall. He doesn't care if your brothers threw you in a pit. He doesn't care how long you've been in prison for. He doesn't care how fiery the furnace is. He cares if you want to sit in it and stay there and look around for a solution or get up out of it, not be a victim to it, to not act like your giant is anywhere near as big as the God that is invincible in battle, unable to lose, unable to be defeated, unable to be crushed, unable to be thrown to the side, unable to be disregarded, unable to be unloving, unable to be un, Second thing is this. If you want to keep moving, own your step. Play your part in your future. You can control the controllables. The things that you can do, the book that you can read to get you over that thing, the counselor you can see to talk that thing through, the person you can disciple to get over your shyness because your mum never used to talk and you got it from her. The anger that you can deal with because it's the rage that your dad did, and take your part in your future. No one else is coming to be obedient with what God's asked you to be obedient with. No one else's sin is holding you there. And even if you feel like you're at base one, he'll just throw out two and three and move home closer because he can just do impossible things. C.S. Lewis describes it, a naturalist is someone that believes you make a chair with wood and you do it here and you construct it there. But a supernaturalist is someone that God can just say, chair, and chair happened. Chair, there, chair now. And this is what chair is. Be a supernaturalist. Be someone that's like, yeah, I'm here, but I take ownership, and my ownership is I want heaven to be my reality. I want heaven to be my home. So I choose that over this, and it's not very close, and I don't want to play the pity party. I believe not only can God take you out of the hood, he can take the hood out of you. The third thing is this morning. Actually, no, let's go a bit further. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. You don't have to get back. You don't have to, horsey, horsey, come out, horsey, doggy, dog, come on. Help me get there. I can change how it ends. I might be the first in my family, but I won't be the last. Stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. The third thing is this. To walk in His grace puts you, son or daughter of God, at an advantage. You play the hand that you were dealt, and the hand that you were dealt is a humble hand. It's a hand that is not afraid of being the underdog. It is a hand that trusts what He says, not what other people say. His hand gives you praise instead of complaining. No matter what anyone throws at you, you get an opportunity to drop to your knees and win. Not fight fire with fire. Not blame mum or dad. Not blame teacher. Not blame the boss that fired you. Not blame the relationship that broke up and ended. And definitely not blame your great-grandfathers or your great-great-grandfathers or your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers. If there's something there that you can learn from, you learn it, baby. Get the lesson mastered and then learn the next one. I'm at no disadvantage. I have the grace of God. I wonder if today could be a day that you say that and believe it. I am at no disadvantage. I have the grace of God. No disadvantage. Not how I think or how I was. No disadvantage. I have His grace. In my weakness, He is strong. I am perfectly fine with celebrating my weakness because when I am weak, then I am strong. You might be strong because you're strong for some other reason. I'm strong because I'm weak. That's the hand that you're dealt with as a Jesus follower. I'm not strong because I got an inheritance. I'm strong because I'm weak. Because I'm faithful with what God's pouring into me. That's why I'm strong. That's what I'm going to be held accountable for. On the screen is a recap as we conclude this morning. And Edge, if you can jump on keys, or if someone can jump on that fan, or the production team can just move things. Let's land this morning. On the screen is a recap slide. Philippians 2 tells us to forget those former things. This quote, prisons can't hold me, locks can't shackle me, chains can't keep me from my freedom. Would that be your declaration this morning? Not because you're arrogant in your own strength, but because you will demean any giant to put it in its greater perspective of how great your God is. Sleeping dogs or dead horses, what do you need to deal with? The past is a place to learn, not to live in. Don't sit in it, own the step, and know His grace this morning. The action is simple. It's those four words on your screen. Now, leave and live. And it's okay to make that choice. It's okay to let Him renew your mind so that you're able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. A mind decision transformed by the Holy Spirit is not just positive thinking. It's He renewed me. I leave and now I live. I forget and now I live. I move on and now I live. And I live big. And I live because of His grace. And I live in His provision and His protection and His promotion. I live in His protection. I live in His provision. I live in His promotion because I live in His presence. His presence. Not the presence of my circumstance that I'm sitting in. I get up. I own it. I move beyond it. Someone hurt me and they can't heal me. So I'm not going to ask them to. They're not able to. It can't be healed. I want new. I want a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit. I want a new generational tree. I want a new normal to be set through me. I want our city to be changed, not because of what was done in the past, because what I choose to do now with the hands that I have been dealt. And I will humble myself from the things that will make me prideful, inflated with ego or inflated with defeat, pride. I'll lay it down and I'll live. And I'll breathe deep in His presence. So provision, promotion, protection, closeness becomes my portion. Would you do that for you this morning? Would you stop things that have been happening and start something afresh? And Mum and Dad aren't here to give you the tick of approval. It's you. It's you. Can I give you some things to leave maybe? Maybe leave some lies this morning. That was just a lie. Someone said it. It echoed in my head and then it bounced around again and again and again and again and again. But it's a lie. It's just not mine. He didn't give it. I didn't make it up. I'm leaving it. Addiction. Why not leave it? The thing that your parents did to deal with the pain. Why not you not repeat the cycle? Why not leave it? Why not live? And not positive thinking. I want a new heart. I want a new mind. I want a new spirit. I want a new story. Why not leave shame? Why not leave pain? Why not leave unforgiveness? Why not take your hooks out of that person? They hurt you. Yeah, they hurt you. And again, they're not going to heal you. They're not going to do it. It's not their responsibility. They could never do it. Neither could you. Why not leave pride? Why not leave the anger that was passed on to you? Why not leave the control? My mom was really controlling. I'm going to be real controlling. I got everything. Why not leave it? Some of you are controlling because your mom's controlling and your mom's not even here anymore. Why not leave it? Why not leave vanity, dysfunction, chaos in your home? Home or the neighborhood that you grew up in might be filled with chaos. Why not leave it behind? Why not make your home a house of peace and salvation and hope and dreams and joy and fun? Why not leave the chaos of the mind behind? The chaos of indecision, the chaos of fear, that a home was in disorder, so your home is in disorder. Why not leave the pursuit of power and being right and demanding your own way? That you learnt from someone else or your own sin, why not leave it? Why not leave maybe the divorces and the affairs that are in your family tree, in that family tree? And you start yours with God's my Father, I follow Him. Why not leave the someone else to blame? Leave them behind. Why don't this morning you leave anything behind that kills, steals, and destroys? I worry because Mum worried. Cool. Is it killing you? Is it stealing from you? You're not honoring her memory by being a warrior. You're dishonoring it. You're taking the sin of the father and making it your portion instead of doing the right thing. It's not honor. Honor's learning from the mistakes of the previous generation, not partnering with them. So today, could you stand with me? Because today, you can have your eyes open, you can have your eyes closed, I don't care. Today you can say, I'm leaving it and letting go. Halfway in this prayer and fast, I'm humbling myself. I'm leaving this and I'm letting it go. Today you can say, I'm not a victim of my circumstances any longer. I'm letting go. Today, if you're a first generation Christian, you can say today, I am changing my family tree. If no one in your family has ever been educated before, you can say, today I am changing my family tree. My parents never read a book, so I can't read a book. No, today I will change my family tree. I will learn and I'll read and I'll study and I'll grow and I'll be discipled and I'll be open. Today I'm changing my family tree. It stops with me, I will not pass on the pain. It stops with me, I will not pass on the dysfunction. It stops. The past is a place to learn from but not live in. The past is a place of reference but not residence. The past is my origin but not my destination. You've come so far, Jesus follower. He is only getting started. Could you close your eyes this morning as I speak these scriptures over you? Hebrews 12 says, if you are not disciplined and undergo discipline, then you are not legitimate, no true son or daughter at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers that disciplined us. The truth is, we haven't. We respected them for it. How much should we submit to the Father of spirit and life? They disciplined us for a little while and thought it best, but your God disciplines you for your good, in order that you may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. You letting go of the past does not seem pleasant at the time, but it's disciplined. It stops. But it feels painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet. And make level paths for your feet is a quote from Proverbs. It says this in Proverbs, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to your path for your feet and be steadfast in all of your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Church, with your eyes closed, with your heart in surrender, leave. And live. I will change my family tree. It will stop with me. I won't pass on the pain. Can I say it again over you? I will change my family tree. It stops with me, and I won't pass on my pain. With your eyes closed, could you just reflect for a moment of the dogs and the horses in your world? Could you move the blame back to the one that's making the decisions? You. Would you forget the former things? And with all energy and all effort, press on to what lies ahead. Just take a moment.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you would like to know more about our church, please go to celebrationchurch.com.au.